Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Think of those words again. From the curse to make me free. Reading from John chapter 3, the words of the Lord Jesus as He spoke them to Nicodemus when he came to Him by night, beginning to read at verse 7. reading part of that message that Christ gave to Nicodemus through the 19th verse. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Let's give thanks for this, and let's pray that we will know it in our nation today. We are loving darkness rather than light in so many terrible ways, many ways, so many relationships, and terrible ways of darkness. Let's pray that God will show us the light, and that we will rightly recognize the darkness. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, described here as the Son of Man, described here as Thy only begotten Son. We know He is Thy eternal Son, and He also became the Son of Man, coming down to earth, humbling Himself, even to the death of the cross. And we give thanks for that. We give thanks, Father, that Thou dost give Him. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, that You went to the cross. We give thanks also for the Spirit that was given, and that must be given today to give the new birth, to make us to be born again. And as, Lord Jesus, You said to Nicodemus, and that word to us today, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that we must be born again, and we beg of Thee that we may not only be born again, but have more of Thy Spirit, more of the Spirit taking the things of Thine, Lord Jesus, in the church, saying like Paul, that we may know Thee and the power of Thy resurrection. We pray for these things first. We also give thanks for the other blessings that we have, food and raiment and shelter, the blessings in nature, the sunshine, the rain, the freedom that we have. We pray for those who do not have these blessings, many in suffering in terrible ways, especially the persecuted, the war-torn lands. We pray, Father, for those that are in wind and fire and earthquake and calamities. We pray for our homes. We pray especially for the broken homes and the children in them. We pray for the schools that they might again teach that Thou art the Creator and not the lie of evolution and other lies that are being taught more and more. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt teach our children of Thyself and of Thy ways through Christ, in whose name we beg these things and give thanks that can be done. Amen. As we look at this again, Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus there that night, I'd like to think of what we read there in the 12th verse. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? When we think of the earth and earthly things, we do read that the heavens declare the glory of God. We think of the wonders of nature, springtime, summer, winter, all that comes repeating itself every year, seed time and harvest, day and night, all in God's order. Earthly things, we can see God in them, even to the point that Paul says they are without excuse. They declare His Godhead and His power, His wisdom as well, and doing these things in the way they are, amazing, but it is earthly and of the earth. We need that which is heavenly. We need Him who came down from heaven. And we need each one of us to have the blessing that Paul spoke of when he wrote to the church at Ephesus and said to them that had been dead in sin, they were quickened. They had walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that was now, Paul says, working in the children of disobedience. He said, we all were like that. And because of it, in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, all of that, the mind, in it we were children of wrath. Then we read, but God, who was rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, taking us from the earthly to the heavenly. And that's especially described in that next verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places on earth. That's what it is. To have Christ. To receive Christ. As Paul said, He revealed His Son in me. He gives us to Christ, and He gives Christ to us. That as Christ said just before His death, we are to abide in Him and He in us. That's heavenly places on earth. And that must begin, and it begins after the new birth. Yes, before the new birth, we are dead in sin. We are dead to the heavenly. We are only of the earth, only of the flesh. As Christ had said to Nicodemus earlier, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Very much separate, even though they can take place in the same place of our life, on earth here. While we are here, it must begin before death, and before, if we are made right, having eternal life in heaven. When we see this here, I think of it as often, I fear, we have it the wrong way around. We think of heavenly places, probably something like going to a restaurant, going to a party, something out of the ordinary of life, not our home, not our way. We go to church, we go back home and live our life. We read the Bible, and we begin to think about other things, our normal life, which is really in control. I was thinking of that, looking back over my life. How much of it was the heavenly on earth? How much of it was, as God said, of Abraham? He had here no abiding city. He looked for the city of whom God was the builder and the maker. Though he was on earth, he was always looking up. He was like a bird, not clung to the earth, headed for the heavenly city. And that's what we need. And Christ said, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Christ Himself came down from heaven, as He said in the next verse, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I've often wondered, when Christ was here on earth, what about those things that are spoken of in Scripture. Even David, 1,000 years before that, had spoke of Christ, the Father stating to him, "Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." We have to believe, even though we may not understand, that God is all places in heaven and earth. So is the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, who with the Father made the earth and by the word of his power is upholding it, the whole earth. Yet he could say to some people, just before he left this earth, after his crucifixion and resurrection, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he is with us by that same Spirit that he's speaking of here, of which we must be born again. He said just before his death, recorded in the Gospel of John, that the Spirit would take the things of him and show them to us. When the Lord Jesus began his ministry himself, he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew records it, his message, as "repent." Mark records it as "repent and believe the gospel," to be ready for that kingdom, to enter into it. If we go back to the beginning of what Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What do you see? We all see the things of earth, all of us who have natural sight. But do we see the kingdom of God? Do we see that kingdom which is by faith? The just shall live by faith. By faith we begin to believe in the only true God. By faith we begin to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All that by faith, believing. And through believing, we live by that faith. The just shall live by faith. Yes, we live on earth, walking, sitting, eating, working. We'll do all that. We say, "Well, that's living." Yes, it is living in one way, earthly. But when the just shall live by faith, that's heavenly. That's living, as Paul said to the Galatians, by the faith of the Son of God. He said, "The life that I now live in the flesh," he lived by that faith of Christ as well as in Christ. That begins with being made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. The wonderful beginning of receiving Christ. If we go back to the first chapter of John, we read in the 12th verse, "To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The name of him who is in heaven. The name of him who came down to earth. The name of him who was the creator of the world. We, in believing in that name, receive power to become the sons of God. It's as if God comes and lifts us up into the heavenly kingdom, puts us into it, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. A reality, a great reality, a reality that will never stop, so real, if we have it, if it has its beginning in us and we have its needed beginning in that way, beginning with the new birth to see ourselves outside of it first, then to be brought in, to be forgiven, to be convicted by the Spirit, how sinful we are. The way of repentance. Yes, submitting to God's word in faith that he's right And we're wrong. Very, very, very wrong. So wrong that God had to send His Son down to earth. And like He said here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross for sinners like you and me. Have you believed it? Have you believed that that is the way of the heavenly places? Believing on Christ, the beginning. The Lord Jesus said, as recorded in John chapter 6, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that which was broken, both before he was nailed to the cross and at the time of being nailed on the cross, broken, beaten, crown of thorns on his head. Later, the spear piercing in his side. Broken, broken in body, in having to utter those sad words on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? I do. Forsaken because of my sin. Have you learned that he had to be forsaken for your sin? That's beginning to see the kingdom of God. It's a whole different kingdom. It's His work, not ours. If we would have read a little further in Ephesians chapter 2, we would have read, by grace are you saved, through faith, through believing, trusting, that not of ourselves is the gift of God. It's a heavenly gift. It's not something we did or earned, not even faith. As I said earlier, Paul spoke about the faith of the Son of God. We read that in Romans 3. We read it in Galatians 2. We read it in Philippians 3. The faith of the Son of God. I'm not sure that all translations translate it that way. I know my Bible does. And some may not. But it is true. It is both faith in Christ, but it is also faith of Christ. As I've often mentioned, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. When we go back to that statement that Paul made to the Ephesians, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ, that's all by faith. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's the heavenly kingdom. It's not of earth. On earth, yes, but not of earth. It's from heaven. God making us sit in heavenly places in His Son, with His Son, because of His Son. Oh, what a great salvation. Is it any wonder that Philip Bliss stated, I will sing the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Yes, that's it. That's the story. God's story. The gospel. That's what makes the church His body. All because of that. Beginning with, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe it if I tell you of heavenly things? And then speaking of Himself, the Son that came down from heaven, which is in heaven. He is everywhere present, all over. As the Lord Jesus said of the Father, Not a sparrow falls to the ground without the will of our Heavenly Father. Gives that in comfort. But it's also a great fact. Amazing. When we have these two statements here of Christ, what we call the gospel, described in type by Moses lifting up the serpent, described in actual happening, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, both times that whosoever believeth in him, the way, the truth, the life. We need to believe it objectively. He's that in the world. But he must become that for you and me. He must become your way, my way, your truth, my truth. He said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that is knowing the word as it's written, but above all, the living word, as he said a little further in that same conversation. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And then going back to that statement of Christ himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We all have natural life. But Christ is the life spiritually, for eternity. If you don't have him, you will die and have only eternal death. But if you have him now, and through him have that beginning of eternal life, by faith in him, becoming children of God through and because of him. And not just our believing, but going back to that scripture of John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Further understanding and explanation in the next verse, who were born not of blood, not of your parents, not of the will of the flesh, not your choosing, not the will of man, not of anybody else or ourself, but of God. It begins with God. It ends with God. It's all of God. It is of God that showeth mercy. It is of God who saves by grace. It is of God who gave his Son and can make a sinner like you and me sit in heavenly places in Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise